Hello and welcome to the Mystic Cast, where you join Jack Stafford and Deborah Littleboy, members of the Aetherius Society, the cosmic religion for the Aquarian Age, as we break down the barriers between religion, philosophy, yoga, mysticism, all of which are really only aspects of the self-same quest for truth. Please note this is an independent program, not produced or fact-checked by the Aetherius Society. Today, our guest is Rex Baer. Hello, Rex.
Hey, how the heck are you?
Damn good. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, man. It's good to be
so
here.
So soon. Yeah.
We needed your energy, Rex. Yeah. We said, what do we need? We need some Rex energy.
Well, we'll share the vibe. So I appreciate it. Great vibes from you guys as well. Our last conversation was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And this one's going to be even better.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got my popcorn. So yeah. Better.
we're talking about Planet X. What's your understanding of Planet X, Rex?
Well, okay, so Planet X has been an enigma and an anomaly, something that people have been searching for decades. In the 80s, there was a paper that came out, front page news, they found Planet X, and then it just disappears. But Planet X in particular could be anything, right? I mean, it could be a comet. It could be an asteroid. We've heard of the Nemesis. We've heard of Nibiru, Phaeton, the Destroyer. So there's a lot of different names and a lot of different maybes. And we've got some of this information from cuneiform tablets. The Colbran Bible talks about it. You're going to share some amazing information with us about a possibility of a planet being behind the sun. And I don't know a lot about that. So what I did was I did a bunch of research, like, is it possible? Because I've heard the possibility of there being a planet behind the sun. And so I'm wanting to attempt to understand the physics of that, like how it would actually work. And so when I look it up, the very first thing that pulls up on a, you know, Google search is, no, absolutely no way is there a planet behind the sun. But there's no validation. There's just like, no, don't question that. I'm like, well, that's kind of lame. I mean, how about you give me a real answer instead of just saying no? Like, let's look at the physics. Is it possible? Is it not possible? What would make it possible? What I do know is there has been reports since the 80s that'll hit the news and it'll disappear about an incoming planet. I do know that astronomers had a meeting and they dethroned Pluto. And then they came out and said they found Planet 9. And I think that's Brown and Batygin. So I find that very political, right? Like, how do you downgrade a planet, first of all? And most of the astronomers at that meeting didn't agree with them. But the overall census was, we're going to downgrade Pluto. And then they come out a couple years later in 2003-ish around then, and they found this planet called Sedna. And this planet, and then they go, though, I'm sorry, they found Planet Sedna. Then they debunk Pluto or dethrone it. And then they say they find a possible Planet 9 in the outreaches of our solar system, but they can't see it. But all the orbits of the outer Kuiper Belt planets seem to make it appear that there's a planet out there that's causing this. And they've said that it's anywhere the size of, you know, Jupiter to now it's the size of, now it could be a grapefruit-sized black hole. So it goes from a Planet X to a black hole that they don't know what it is. And it's just weird the way that they downgraded Pluto and then, oh, Planet 9, we found it. That to me seems very political. What do you all think?
Well, it's so many different theories and it's like in many areas of science, you know, scientists, people who worship at the Church of Science often present a unified theory. But if you get two scientists in a room, getting them to agree on everything is virtually impossible. And I think it's the same with astrologists that you're going to have all these different competing theories. And, you know, I'm not, maybe they were talking allegorically about being behind the sun. It could have moved. I've seen some elliptical arcs that this Planet X, that the astronomers have found. So it's all still up in the air in terms of mainstream. What do you think, Deborah?
Well, I don't think too much, as you know, I've got a very, mind that, prefers to find out the facts and just sort of read them. And then that's like safe ground for me. But so I did a little bit of investigation within the teachings. So what I found is that our master, Dr. King, gave a lecture called The Cosmic Plan back in the 70s in the UK. And it was over 2 hours of this lecture. He was really giving it to the people there. And within that, so the 28th of July 1974, he said that in the solar system, there is, and it has been for millions of years, behind the sun in an exact orbit with the sun is this planet that is a younger planet, and those souls that are not ready to take the higher vibrations as Earth raises her vibrations will have to reincarnate on that planet and relive all the horrors of everything that they've been through, because it's the karma is a lesson and you have to learn your lessons before you can move to the next world. Right. And he said there that the astronomers have known that it's been there, and it's been there for millions of years. So that was in a lecture. And then in this book, which is called You Are Responsible, it's a fabulous book, this, and you can see how old it is. It cost 18 shillings in UK money, $3.50 US when it was printed. So that gives you a little cute clue. I can't. First published in 1961, and chapter 13 there is something called the Initiation of Earth, and this is a transmission from an entity we know as Mars Sector 6. Who is a karmic lord. Sure. So this came through as a transmission through Dr. King. And he says, as you know, you terrestrials were offered sanctuary upon the planet you call Earth sometimes after you destroyed the planet upon which you lived. All that is left of that planet, Meldek, is a cold, lifeless rock, devoid of atmosphere, the remains of a broken world. You came onto this planet so that you might have the benefit of further experiences through the great teacher, life. Twice in the past, you have brought catastrophe upon this planet. Today, you stand in the valley of decision. During this time, so we're talking early 60s, the goddess known as Terror decided to await her cosmic initiation so that the life streams upon her body, gaining experience, could enjoy that experience unperturbed by outside conditions. The karmic law states that there is a limit to the suffering of a great one. The goddess Terra must shortly take her rightful place in the cosmic scheme of evolution. So I'm going to pause there and just say that that actually happened, taking that initiation on the 8th of July, 1964. That's when the planet took all the cosmic energies that she needed to raise her vibrations, but she didn't do it. I mean, what a fabulous woman. What a fabulous entity. She held it back so to give us little pests on her back opportunity to start to get it, to raise our own vibrations. So anyway, I continue. The karmic law states, so, as I said, there's a limit to suffering of a great one. This, when she takes her rightful place, this will mean a reduction in the intensity of the ionosphere around Terra and a resultant high rise in the potency of cosmic rays actually reaching the surface of this planet. This will mean that only those of sufficient development will be able to withstand this cosmic bombardment. So in other words, if we don't start raising our vibrations, we won't get the lessons we want to learn. So then I jump, because I can't read the whole thing out. So it goes, indeed, those terrestrials who work in these ways and those who will enjoy the the peace of enlightenment, which must come to Terra as she moves through space onto a different plane of existence, as she then accepts her long overdue cosmic initiation. When she does this, so in other words, we know she took it and she's holding it. So she's letting those energies rise as slowly as she possibly can to give as many of us time to make the mark. So when she does this, when she does this, as she will shortly, those not ready will be taken to another planet, and there the great teaching and instruction will go on again. And then there's a note one.
And that's referring to the planet behind the...
back on her.
That's the planet behind the sun, yeah.
Yeah, that's the planet behind the sun.
Because all these planets, we believe in the teachings that we evolve into planets eventually. So planets are living beings, Mahabindus, these are the great gods. And it's like, we're home to thousands of bacteria, billions of bacteria, each cell, whatever. And so it's we're all supporting life beneath us. So if you extrapolate this as above, as below, the planet is a living being. It breathes. The science has shown that it breathes in and out. And and then it has to move on. And so we have to go to another, much younger planet if we want to continue at our present level, because as many people are not evolving, there needs to be some sort of shakeup.
And there needs to be a catchment. There needs to be a place for them to go so that they can continue their learning.
You need more time at school. The school's school's being turned into a university. If you have to stay at school, you've got to go to another location. But it's a nice school.
That's interesting, because when I was talking to Dr. Richard Allen Miller yesterday, and he's a legend amongst legends, and he's the rocket scientist that didn't blow himself up. He was around back when Parsons and some of those other dudes were just starting to break out into the scene, and like JPL rockets. You know that whole story about Jack Parsons and how he ended up blowing himself up?
No, tell us the story.
Well, I don't know exactly how he blew himself up. It was an experiment. It might have even been a ritual. But Jack Parsons is, super genius, but he was also very, very deep into the occult, and he was kind of pushing the boundaries on how far you can go. Mm-hmm. And super genius. So if you've heard of JPL, and JPL is a part of NASA now, it's a rocket program. He was one of the fathers of JPL, Jack Parsons, JP. But anyway, Dr. Richard Allen Miller was around back then, and he's 80 now, and he's still rocking it. His mind's going a million miles an hour. And he was talking yesterday about the solar system and how he sees the solar system as an actual entity, as a living organism. And there are many beliefs and religions and cultures actually that do have that same thought process. So that's fascinating. I'm glad that there's, collaborating information on that. And I've thought about that recently. Each cell in your body communicates with every other cell. And how is it doing it? If we were to go at that micro level, would we see us? Like, hey, we got to get that over there. Hurry, get it. Just little mini us and stuff. Yeah. It's probably kind of like that in a weird way.
Yeah, like the ants, the ants communicate and they form a greater, they're one being, aren't they? An ant colony, insects. We think we're highly evolved. We think we're the top of the food chain. It doesn't get better than us, but we're the smartest. But we've been saying that about ourselves for every 100 years. If you look at us 100 mm-hmm. years ago, we think we were scavengers with stone tools, So it's going to be the same in another 100 years, and we're, extrapolate that.
Right. People weren't very smart 100 years ago. Now we can just push a button and get everything we need. It goes right to our brain.
Yeah.
Well, fuck before.
Yes.
Science. Like Planet X. There could be a multitude of Planet X's, right? So when you say Planet X in particular, was that the 10th planet? Or are you referring to X as an anomaly? But wouldn't it be fascinating if we could verify that there was a planet on the other side of the sun. So from the research that I have done, the sun and the earth kind of orbit each other, right? The solar system orbits the sun orbits the solar system. And we're kind of doing this circle on the outside.
Inside a galaxy, around another galaxy, inside a super galaxy cluster. Yeah.
So then if that's the situation and if the sun's kind of in the middle here and there's something kind of following us, but it's always staying opposite to us, like, would that be possible? Could we get somebody that's into physics to say, yeah, you can do that? Or do I just have to see? Because when I was doing some research on this, I also found this one comment that I wish I could find it again. Maybe I can, but it sounded like a great book, right? Like this guy was explaining why they were doing rockets to the moon because they were really sending rockets to the sun because they found this planet behind the sun and they were going to come out with all this information, but they didn't. They suppressed it and yada, yada. And I'm like, wow, man, this is an awesome writer. Whoever's writing this, I can't verify it's true, but it sounds really cool. And, you know, maybe, but we change, science rewrites itself every day. I mean, so if you're going to believe something absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, then you might be missing out on a whole new universe, whole new world, literally.
I also heard the other day that from a metaphysical teacher that because we're in the multiverse now, the different realms of existence, the different realms could be actually be, when you go to a higher realm, it could be that the planet is in a different orbit, further along the same orbit of the sun. So you actually go to a different location. So let's, you know, we're still thinking very, you know, we're on this planet, you're over there, but maybe it's all, you know, maybe there's levels of, on different realms, a different frequency of vibration. Because I mean, we know from our teachings that there's beings that live on the sun. You know, we go there now, we just see nuclear fireballs or whatever. But yeah, everything is a different frequencies of vibration. And we can only see this very narrow part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Extrapolate that. Yeah, who knows?
Well, with shapes and geometry, you know, you can take a tesseract and you can create all these different shapes. And when you start to change the shapes, you will get an understanding of, oh, okay, so that's 2D, that's 3D, that would be 4D. But once you get past the fourth dimension, at least for me, I think we're talking about this before, it's really hard for me to grasp that. But you're adding extra layers of information to your reality. So if you can only see 3D and something comes to you from 5D, yeah, how would you perceive that?
Well, it's all this dark energy, dark matter. We can't see it. They can't even measure it. But they, from their calculations, they think it's correct because they think that's what's holding the, you know, yeah, it's their consciousness. They can't even measure that. They can't measure so many things, but they still think they're at the cutting edge. So,
what do you bet if there is a planet behind the sun or on the other side of the sun? Because we're kind of behind the sun too. So I know somebody's going to,
well, Rex, there is no such thing as behind the sun. Blah.
Okay, let's say there's a planet on the other side of the sun. I read the comments before they come out way too much. It's weird how that happened. I've been doing this for so long now, I already know what people are going to say. But in the comments section. But I could see that, right? I mean, I can understand that. And maybe if that's a planet for souls to go that didn't make it here because they're darker than, and Earth can be a beautiful, bright, loving place, can also be a very dark place. So we got to focus on the positive, focus on the bright. But if there is a planet like that, imagine how they're going to evolve. You're going to have an even darker, more cunning, like more like warish, do whatever it takes to survive.
Selfish, yeah, mine, and kill. And then get pleasure from blood. We've sort of seen it now, haven't we? You haven't got to look back that far in our history to see where we've come up from. But we are told in our teachings that, you know, once we blew ourselves up loads of times, then you crawl out of the slime of distortion. And that to me just, you know, when you see like a disfigured, out of harmony, out of balance, this distorted, awful shape that won't vibrate properly, like a wheel that's lost its buckle. You can see that, and it's crawling out to try and get this light through. And of course, the light won't go because it's all fractured like a broken mirror. You can, and we try, and we've come out of that. So we've done that so many, according to our teachers, we've done that so many times.
Getting good at it.
Boring. Oh, what again? How dumb are you not? How are you going to see it? But then we're told we it's a disease. And we're addicted, like an addiction to this power crazy, got to have this lack mentality. Whereas we know any sane person with half the thought process, which are most of the people better than me, but can see that that's insanity. The more we work together with love and helping each other out, you feel better. Everything is better when you're sharing, when you're giving, when you're laughing, when you're... It doesn't take a lot, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, as somebody that worked in a jail, it's a pretty dark place, and the energies are pretty dark, and you see the gangs forming really quickly. See how people were joined together out of fear, and then you'll see that the conflicts, and then you'll see the behind the scenes, the manipulators. It's a really dark place. So it didn't take an awful lot for Deborah to understand that we could so easily get pulled, sucked into all of that because it's a disease, it's an addiction. But look, I want to just add a little note here. On note one, which it tells us to, just to refresh anybody that can't remember what we were saying, it was saying that there's this other planet, which we're saying is diametrically across from us, which is why we can't see it as we whizzing around the sun. The souls will have to reincarnate there. Now, note one says, this does not mean that those not ready for the new world will be transported to another planet by spacecraft, but will go there through the experience called death to
like
be reincarnated on a younger planet. So in other words, it's not going to be like, one day you're here and they're like, oh, you scruffians, get into the prison bus. We're off to the other place. No, it's when we transcend to the hall of judgment, we then judge for ourselves. Are we ready for these new vibrations, or have I missed the boat? And actually that lesson's not going to come round anymore on Earth. Oh, I better ship out to planet on the other side, so that I can get those experiences, so I can get that lesson right. After ticking all the boxes, in my simple way, it makes sense. It just makes sense. You can't, you've got to pass the grade. Otherwise, you can't progress. Even in our schools, you can't get further until you've got the basic understanding. Back to that thing, that word again, that basic knowledge on which to build. So, yeah.
There's a lot of people that cheat, though. There's a lot of people cheating to get that better.
They use
grade.
AI.
I'm wondering if they could do that to evolve. I wonder if there's cheat codes to evolve, or if there's
They can prolong their lives on the lower realms. They do many techniques to prolong their life. They do things backwards and rites and rituals and satanic stuff. And there are tricks to extend your life. So yeah, but it's descended masters, not ascended masters. So you think you're evolving, but you're involving.
Yeah. And that's an interesting point you just then made there, Jack, because we're told, aren't we? Well, Richard, our bishop, gave a lecture, I think it was last week, and he was saying that the black magicians, like the really good black magicians, if there's such a thing, so the ones that have really perfected their art, the way that they manage to do that is that they block their conscience. So one of our biggest ways of like helping us to evolve is we get our consciousness pricked. We don't feel very good about ourselves. We you know, start to feel like a bit guilty or a bit, you know, uncomfortable in our actions. And the way that the black lords, the black magicians, stop that from happening is by divorcing themselves from their intuition, from their conscious, you know, so they don't have the intuition, they don't have that small voice within. They get rid of it as much as they can, which limits them because it makes them a bit dumb.
Well, I got to say though, that's what. Well, sorry to interrupt, Deborah, but that's brilliant because I've questioned before, like people that go out and do things that I'm like, well, how could they do that if they have a conscience, right? I'm questioning. I'm like, well, they don't have a conscience, so they can't even judge themselves. But to get rid of your conscience, makes sense. Yeah.
To suppress it, just can't completely get rid of it, because of course we're all beings of light ultimately. So you look at the yin and yang symbol, the white has got a dot of black, and the black has got a dot of white, because one, they're all part the same. You can't get rid of it totally, but you can suppress it to almost like keep suppressing it. And the more you practice on it, the better you get at it, eh? So you just keep suppressing it, pushing it down. So you then don't feel the compassion and the power of everything else. You are the power. You are the source. And that's how they achieve it. And that's how they can stay for 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years without having to come up to this level 1, where it's game on. You know, basically, you know, you happen to deal with, we've got everybody up here from the darkest to the highest to make the balance. And it's got to be that way. But to keep down there as long as you can, that means you can control the power. You can be the puppet master for all your little minions that have managed to be like working on this plane. And most of them find themselves into places that where I trod the boards, if you want.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. And then what else could you? I would like to know more about this possible planet on the other side of the sun. Like, what else?
Me too.
That's it, huh? Just the one chapter.
I mean, there may well be, but I couldn't, and I reached out to try and bring more to this meeting, if you want, this to this discussion, and you, what you've got is basically the nub of it. We've got this one transmission from Mars Sector 6, which goes on and more than I've given you.
Why is it called Mars Sector 6? Why is it called that?
That's his pseudonym.
Interesting.
So he was one of the cosmic masters that spoke through Dr. King. So we hear, we get his vibration through Dr. King's voice box. He's a karmic lord. A very highly elevated being.
Karmic,
as in the Lord of Karma.
Karma. Karmic Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
A judge.
One of the hierarchical judges. And he's given he's the one that gave us the 9 freedoms, which is the book that Jack would normally be waving around at this time, trying to hit you over the head with, because it's his favorite.
Got everything in there.
Have you not brought it with you to
bring it with me? But one thing I was thinking is, they say if you know the two of the times, you can know the third time. So if the past, the present, and the future, and we don't, we're a bit thin on the ground when it comes to this, to what actually life would be like on planet X, but we can know we came from Maldek, which is now, we blew up, made the asteroid belt. And then we came here because there was another race on this world before Adamic man. And it's interesting to know about that transition, because maybe that gives us a bit of an insight into how it could be like. So we came, was it the cities of Shan? We were where there was a.
Yes, well, what we first of all did when we got here, we had a civilization which some call Lemuria, and then the disease came, and we had an atomic war and we blew it up, and then so then we had to put a the I sonosphere around us to actually stop the cosmic rays getting to us. So in other words, it lowered the vibration of the planet. So then we crawled up and we became the civilization of Atlantis, which lots of people have spoken and know about. And then from there, we had the white magicians, if you want, so the high priest and the black. And then the black magicians split. And each of these warring black magicians had an atomic weapon. And it was clear to the lords that could see the patterns playing out that there was going to be another atomic war and was going to destroy the civilization of Atlantis. So all the souls at that stage, just before, if you like, they pressed the red button. I don't think it was a red button, but you take my point. Just before it all went bang, there was this huge spaceship called the Cities of Shan, built by the Martians, that came and evacuated all the souls that were ready not to be blown up and took them to, we don't know where, but I would say to the planet that they were ready for is what I would say to you. And then it went bang. So if you want to, what I would see this planet X, if that we're talking about that we haven't got proven by science, would be at the stage of just after the an atomic explosion, if you want. So you've got to, because you'd have to crawl back out of it again. You'd have to go through the same experiences again to learn the lessons.
Well, just to go back to the multiverse, because the electromagnetic spectrum, we believe, we're taught in the teachings that each chakra is a realm of consciousness. So when you die, when people do astral projection, they leave the body and they go through it. When they do it consciously, they kind of fall out, it's kind of flat, and then you kind of fall out onto a different realm. So if you're going to go up, the root chakra is the physical realm. The lower astral realms are in the legs, you know, but they're right here. So heaven and hell are right here, just a different frequency. So the higher chakras, and so there's seven above. But Adamic man, who was on this planet before us, their root chakra was the heart chakra. So if you look at the body, the heart, or everything below in our body, came afterwards. So the Adamic man didn't need a reproductive system, didn't need a digestive system. They got their energy from the air, from the prana, from the sun. They didn't reproduce sexually. They reproduced through the logos of the earth. So just to think about the bodies of what you would be like on that new planet, you might have to have a lower chakra, because the highest chakra in the animal kingdom is the root chakra. So when an animal raises its consciousness enough, it can incarnate as a into the life stream of the humans. So maybe the root chakra would be, they'd have a slightly different body, the people there on the new planet. Maybe they have a lower chakra. You know, but each chakra would be a realm of consciousness. So when you go to the lowest chakra in our world, it's a really, if you astrally project to the lowest realms, it's very dark. You know, it's really, I haven't been there, but I've heard that it's, you know, very cloudy and very dark and you go to the higher realms, this brighter and the countryside's better. So if you extrapolate that, what to what the next planet will be like, maybe it would be that kind of apocalyptic wasteland that Deborah was talking about.
Well, and it sounds to me like this one planet, if there is a planet that is on the other side of the sun, it'll probably always appear that way to us based upon the orbit. You know what I mean? It'll probably always be like that. So unless we can find a way to get through travel to that other side of the sun, I don't think we'll ever physically see it. So what a great way to hide. Like literally, what a great way. And then if there is a planet there that has these souls that are more like we talked about, who's to say that they haven't built advanced technologies and they are, you know, traveling?
Well, I don't think they're there yet. They're us who don't make the grade. We will be there. I don't know if it's uninhabited at the moment, but it will be inhabited by us. But I think there also be other races on this world, I've heard. There are different, it's the multiverse now. You can have many things together in the same place.
Yeah.
One planet serving many purposes, because they're such advanced beings. They don't just serve as a classroom for us. They're also busy doing other things, you know. So
something's just come to me, and I'm not sure. I'm having like two conversations with myself. There's somewhere in the twins that said, at that time, she, as in Earth, Terra, will take her rightful place in the heavens. Now, I don't, and I think somewhere else I heard that it might not be that she will physically move in the heavens, which what you were, where I was coming from with you, Rex, that it, but if she did change her orbit slightly, then we would see, wouldn't we? That were here on the higher, that we would then see the other planet if the orbit changed. And of course we do know the reason we're a bit like 23 degrees wonky. You can tell I'm a scientist, can't you? But so if we've gone 23 degrees wonky because we've shifted our axis, because we've blown herself up, you know, she shifted on our axis. Nothing to say that she won't shift again to bring herself back into harmony, if you want to. And then at that stage, we then might get a glimpse on the other side of the sun once every comes round.
Well, planets go through life cycles. I mean, Saturn is the most evolved planet in our system. It's got these beautiful rings, you know, and it's gaseous. So the Earth is going to go gaseous on this, probably at this frequency of vibration. You know, it could get bigger. It's going to change, you know. So it's maybe it gets physically bigger and, you know.
We don't know is a short answer, yeah. Rex.
I'm looking forward to
this with you,
but
Rex.
It's fun,
a thought experiment. Yeah.
It's fun exchanging thoughts. Yeah. Well, it is for me because it stimulates other things to come in. And yeah, I do like having you on the show, that's for sure. You're coming back next week.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. I enjoy speaking with you guys as well. I was going to say, if you would like to send me a copy of this, I can do a little bit of editing and upload it on the channel and link it to the Aetherius Society to get more people to check out the Aetherius Society.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I think this is really interesting information. People are fascinated with Planet X. You know, we're going into this with open minds, but, you know, we're obviously not having such an open mind that our brain falls out on the sidewalk, or we're having an open enough mind to have it work. Your brain doesn't work unless it's open. It's just like a parachute. And that's what we need to do, is we need to talk about this kind of stuff and collaborate, because like it's citizen journalism and citizen science. You know, people like us, I didn't want to use the term citizen, but just people like us, you're a citizen of the state. You will do as we say. Well, we're independent reporters, we're independent scientists, and we are collaborating this information together from different parts of the world. And I think it's fantastic. I love talking to you guys. So thanks for the opportunity. I'd be honored to do it again.
Right. Well, one last thought I had was about the ionosphere, is that the ring pass, not the theosophists say that was put in place. And it might not be the transition to the new planet. It might not be one day the ships land and everyone dies on the same day. You know, I mean, it could just be the ionosphere, because we had much more psychic powers in the past, you know, in the civilizations of Lemuria and Atlantis, we were much more psychic, you know, but then the ionosphere was intensified and we received less energy from the sun. We're less, because we needed to go back to primary school, back a few grades. So we get less energy. So now the ionosphere is coming down, you know, the thinning of the ozone. More energy comes from the sun. Could be that people can't live at that vibration. So maybe skin cancer, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's people life cycles get cut short, you know, maybe it's a gradual transition. And that would be, you know, because we do all these yoga pranayama exercises to to help us, you know, live at higher frequency. So maybe it's sort of a gradual transition. And we do pray for that in the society, that is a gradual. We don't want a doomsday. We don't want, you know, the next master to come and everyone's blown up and it's all, you know, we want, if it's a gradual transition, that gradually you only incarnate in a higher frequency. You know, see what I'm saying there? It could be a gradual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything you're saying makes sense. Everything both of you are saying, to me, I'm like, yeah, I get that. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, just because it makes sense, though, I'm also, you know, wanting to be like, okay, let's look into this more. And like bringing up the way that we come out of the mold, we blow ourselves up. I mean, metaphorically speaking, even that makes so much sense. If you look at it symbolically, metaphorically, maybe even physically. And who's to say we didn't come back as mold? I mean, that's just as good as an explanation as anything. I would say that politicians come back as pigs, right? So
I hope so.
Incarnated as pigs, you know, it's okay. They're really smart, but they're running around in their own trap and squalor. Yeah. So, and then some people think cats are humans that were highly evolved, but weren't quite ready to go to the next level yet. So they come back and they're like a cat. They can do whatever they want. You know, cats secretly rule the world. Let's get toxoplasma in that one. He'll pet me all day. He'll give me whatever food I want. I think they're Anunnaki spies personally, but who knows, man? It's fun. I think life's consciousness, everything, it's all around us, right? Consciousness is everywhere. If anything, we're in the mind of the divine. This is like, God is everything. It's amazing and frightening at the same time.
Amen.
Yeah.
No, it is. And the fact that we're able to converse like we can, or, you know, from our, here I am in Kent, countryside Kent. Jack's taken a trip over to Texas to see his family. Ooh. So, you know, he's traveled, but it's still the same Jack. And there you are, you know, in your stormy background.
I'm really in the garage.
We know it's not quite what it seems to be. Because we had a sneak preview before we went here, yes.
It's amazing. Show the behind-the-scenes footage. Yeah. You're in Texas? What part of Texas? I used to live in Texas.
Austin.
Oh, cool. Austin. I was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got family and I got friends in Austin that I consider family. Like we do TV shows and stuff together, so yeah, almost family. Austin's a cool city. Yeah. It's gotten really expensive though.
Yeah. Oh my God! I went to the supermarket. It's like four times the price of what it was.
Really?
Yeah. Like, yeah, incredible. It's
you will eat the bugs. You will eat the bugs and like it.
Things will be cheaper on Planet X when I go there. No.
Nice. Yeah. It'll be like a 3D vat. They'll give you the, like, here's your porridge. No, you don't want to go to Planet X. You want to go to Planet, I don't know.
No, we'll stay here. This is nice here. And by that stage, we won't need to be eating because we'll be getting all our energy from the sun. Yeah, because we won't be restricted by you know, all this horrible smut that we're surrounded with. So, suddenly, I lose all my big legs because I don't need them anymore, or because I'll be absorbing it all. I will only need to be from the navel up.
And it doesn't sound appealing to me, the way that
you... Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to. I'm trying to go with you there, but I understand what you mean. Like, if you're a light body, you can really do anything you want. You can manifest...
what you want to do. Yes.
Yes.
Like slugs.
And you would choose the shape that suits the environment. Mm. So I can roll around. I can be a...
I think this thought, I'm going to call a halt to this thought experiment because I think we're running out of time. And the image of Deborah crawling around like a slug in an
overcoat. I'm going to turn it in. And then you're the soul again. That's pretty cool. No, I respect that. That's awesome. Yeah. This is fun. I appreciate it. I had a great conversation with you guys today. And
yeah, you've got to come back on, Rex. You've got to make it a regular thing.
I'd be honored. Thank you.
You have keep your thinking cap on for the next subject.
Yeah, absolutely. I will, 100%.
So where can be, if people aren't already familiar with the Rex Bear and the Leak Project, how can they find you?
Leakproject.com, Patreon, YouTube, Rumble. We've got 414,000 subscribers on YouTube, but for some reason, most people don't get notifications, even if they continue to hit the bell. So I say just check back daily. And if you want to get into the topics and ad-free stuff and maybe topics that are a little bit more spicy, that's on Patreon. We talk about things there that we can't really talk about on certain platforms just because we're in Nostradamus times, so we have to speak in code oftentimes. And it's okay. That's okay. I've learned to become a really good metaphor speaker.
Yeah. I hear you. No, it's a great channel. I always remember that. People should check out that episode because most of our viewers are followers of the and members of the Ethereum Society. So, but they, you did a great interview with Richard Lawrence. Really, really great.
Richard's awesome. Like, I feel like he's family also. So I would be honored to do another interview with Richard. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Great interview, great podcast.
Yeah. He's been going it 50 years. So he's got a real depth of knowledge. You should ask him about Planet X and want better answers than what you...
He'd probably come up with more than I did.
I think so, yeah.
I thought this was a great conversation. Thank you so much. I learned a lot new today. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Rex.
Thanks.
See you next time.
All right. Cheers. Be the change you want to see, everybody.
Bye.